The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions. Final score, Golden State 129, Cleveland 120. The Warriors win the NBA Finals 4-1 and capture the NBA title for the second time in 3 years, becoming the first team in the Bay Area to win on their home turf since 1974. And let's end the discussion right now. The Golden State Warriors have a seat at the table with the best teams of all time. With something to ride to, Golden.
The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions. I'm Marcus Boucher. My man, Harney Graywall. How's it feel right now, right away, NBA champion?
Golden.
It feels golden on the Bay's golden days. That's right. We're going to talk about everything from these 2017 NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors did it. Got their revenge. 2 in 3 years. Almost the three-peat. But no, we're going to have to wait for the second edition with Kevin Durant added to the team. Did he validate himself? Are the Warriors one of the greatest teams of all time? We're going to talk about it all. Man, oh man, what a run. Going 16-1 through the playoff win, becoming the first team ever to win 65-plus games in 3 straight years with a total record of 254-53 over the last 3 years. Your Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions. And before we get into all the talk about the ramification and what it means for LeBron James' legacy, what it means for Kevin Durant's legacies, and how we got here, let's go straight into game one of the 2017 NBA Finals and break it down to you right from the get-go. Let's get it.
2 years ago, a fun, fast-moving force came out of the West and returned possessing gold.
Curry gets it to Livingston, 2-on-2. Iguodala to the paint. The trailers, Barnes steps into a 3 and knocks it down.
But last year, burgundy-clad invaders from the East wrestled that gold away and took it back to their land.
Shot clock down to 5. Irving raises up. Contested 3 is up and good for Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
92-89.
Now, these two rivals, having slayed other bands in search of the same goal, meet again on a hallowed field of hardwood. It almost seemed predestined, as if the gods had willed it. It's the trilogy of the ring, and the final saga begins now.
The trilogy. Yes, it's here. Hate it if you want it. Call it unfair. Call it two teams with too much talent. Whatever you say, it had the highest NBA ratings for championship games since Jordan's Bulls. So people show up to watch greatness, and that's what they did in this series, because right from the get-go, we saw two great teams coming out hot. You want to talk about KD and Steph, two MVPs who just completely took over game one and game two for the Warriors. They got up 2-0 quick in the series, taking game one 113-91 and game two 132-113. KD in the first quarter could not be stopped. It looked like he was Moses parting the Red Sea, getting straight to the hoop every time, throwing down 6 dunks in the first half alone. And then you want to talk about Steph and KD, the chemistry, dropping LeBron James on that inbound pass, making him fall to his ass. Oh, LBJ, it was only the first step to getting dethroned from your kingdom. Steph and KD. Steph had 28 points, 10 assists. He was out there rocking the Allen Iverson sleeve, hitting 6 threes, becoming the 5th player ever to hit 300 threes in the playoffs. Man, oh man. Two MVPs on the same team. Kevin Durant had 38 himself, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And that's all you needed. We had Klay and Draymond struggling a little bit on offense, but their defense really showed up. Klay in that first game against the big three from Cleveland had him shooting 1-for-10. You want to talk about defense and everything they can do? And the Warriors just played better team basketball. They had 31 assists to the Cavs 15. And here's the big one, turnovers. Warriors had 4 turnovers. Cavaliers had 20. Usually I like the numbers 4-20 next to each other, but not when the turnovers numbers like that. The Warriors just took care of the ball a lot better than the Cavs in both the games. And then game two, we had the return of Steve Kerr And that just helped the Warriors even more because it couldn't slow them down. They came out with a 40-point first quarter where they shot 50, 40, 90 as a team. And you thought Curry and KD were going to slow down? Nope. Curry gets his first career postseason triple-double, 32 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. And LeBron James, can I have this dance? Put him on skates. Some might call it a double dribble, but he got to the rim with ease. Man, you want to talk about Saturday night dancing? Curry was out having a night with his boy KD, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 blocks. We've been talking about all year the things that Kevin Durant's improved on his defense side of the ball. Klay Thompson playing defense whole series came alive, brought out the toaster, I guess, started getting toasty, 22 points, 7 rebounds, and had lockdown defense on Kyrie. The Cavs' big three was only shooting 22% versus Klay versus the first two games, and once again, turnovers. But it was the Warriors this time, had 20. Cavaliers only had 9, took care of the ball, but the Warriors still got it done while LeBron was getting triple-doubles left and right, tying Magic Johnson for the most ever. Kyrie had 19 points, 8 for 23 shooting against Klay. Kevin Love, 27 points, 7 rebounds. Man, there's so much to talk about in these first two games, but it was really KD and Steph taking over, playing at an MVP level, and they were really unstoppable.
It was just consistency. We played consistent while their players just didn't. And the way the floor opens up for Kevin Durant, and I was so happy to know that we gave him the reins, like, take over. Like, he pretty much knew that this is why I came here, to take over in these moments, because at any point, there's a mismatch at all times. When Richard Jefferson was on him, I've told you, Marcus, eat him. Eat him up. He cannot stop you. And that's what we did. And we stuck to the game plan, and I loved it because they played so efficient. Steph and Durant led us, but Klay Thompson didn't have a great shooting performance game one, but that defense, oh my God, he was getting me off my seat more than I do when he shoots a normal three and hits it. But what happens game two? Kerr's back on the sideline. And the first play they ran was try to get him a shot because they know that if he gets going, the floor is just going to open up even more vast. And Kevin Durant is just going to get those easy dunks. In game one, how many dunks did he end up getting? Like 7 at the end for the entire game? And for a player like that, when he doesn't even have to take a shot and he already has 10 points off 5 dunks, you know how hot he already feels, and when you give a man the easy money sniper that much room, he's going to drill you.
It's way too much space. I think the Cavaliers were focused on way too much on trying to stop the three ball. You saw every time there was a fast break, they ran straight to the three line. Where was the rim protector? KD was getting to the lane with ease, throwing it down left and right. The Slim Reaper, Kid Dominant, whatever you want to call it, whatever these terrible nicknames are, KD was tearing it up and truly was unstoppable. And we saw it throughout the whole entire series. Of course, we know now he ended up being the series MVP, and he was unstoppable, validating some of the hate that he was getting about running to a championship team. We'll get into that a lot later. But right now, let's go ahead and look into game three, because after two games of the series last year, we were in the same spot. The Warriors were up 2-0 going into Cleveland. In my opinion, this was Cleveland's best chance to get a win. Game one back in the land. Let's go ahead and look at game three and how Draymond, some of the team, thought about going into it and how it compares to last year.
1, 2, 3, go!
Since the NBA Finals began, Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry of the Warriors have had the sense of now.
James locks it up. Picks up the dribble in the front court. Shot clock, it's out of hand. They allowed it for Jefferson. Knocked away by Curry. Iguodala leads Durant on a break. Goes up and laid it in and got fouled from behind. Shumpert tried to wrap him up, and he was a step too late.
But NBA titles aren't given to you. You have to earn them. And no team knows that more than the Golden State Warriors.
We've been up 3-1 before. There's no feeling of we're almost there, you know. Got to play every game like you're down. I think if you can keep that mindset, you'll eventually reach, you know, the goal. But say we're up 2-0, we're good. Like, still got 2 more games to win, and those 2 will be way harder than the first 2.
Can the Warriors seize control of the series? It's now or never. It's game 3 of the NBA Finals.
Game 3 of the NBA Finals, hands down the best game of the whole entire series. You want to talk about the Warriors coming back down 6 points with 3 minutes to go, and Kevin Durant completely just taking over to get the win, 118-113 in Cleveland. They stole a game in Cleveland, and they stole a taco for all of America, the Dorito Loco Tacos. I hope you got your free taco, because KD put in work for it, and the Warriors set a North American sports franchise record with 15 straight postseason win streak, the longest out of any North American sports team ever. And the man who did it was Kevin Durant, coming up huge with the 3-point dagger right over LeBron James. 45 seconds left, and man, oh man, KD was clutch. LeBron James had a chance to respond, but nope, the Warriors got a little bit more of sweet revenge with Andre Iguodala coming up with a huge block. Man, oh man, we saw the block last year in the finals. Andre Iguodala having flashbacks, got his block at the end of the game versus LBJ, and it was just a case of the Warriors showing up in the fourth quarter and the Cavs not. When the Warriors were down 6 points with 3 minutes in the game, Kevin Durant had 14 points in the fourth quarter. LeBron James, in the fourth quarters of game 1, 2, and 3, had 11 points total. Kevin Durant's putting up more points in one fourth quarter of one game than LeBron James did the first three games of the series, and that's why the Warriors ultimately went up 3-0, in my opinion.
Honestly, about LeBron, at the end of game one, he looked so tired sitting on that bench. I almost felt like that just carried on, and that's why the fourth quarter just wasn't his thing. But this game, it was Kyrie Irving's. This game, he was playing phenomenal. He could not be stopped. This man is one of the best, if not the best, finisher at the rim. The tough shots he was making, the angles that he takes it on, when he takes any person that's down there, he'll break you up top, take you down low, and finish no matter what. That kid is a talent. He literally controlled the pace of this game at the beginning because Klay was still playing good defense, but the man was getting his. Uncle Drew was getting his buckets, but Klay was doing it just like he was on the other side, putting up great numbers. He shot 6 for 11 for 3, got them early, and he was able to keep us in the game. And I was actually surprised that I expected a bigger punch from Cleveland to come out in the first quarter. I was surprised that we actually ended up having the lead after one, which really shocked me because you have to expect this is almost like their technically do or die game. You expect them to come out and just give it their all. But then they did. They stayed consistent. They played very well in the second and third quarter. Third quarters have been huge for the Warriors. This was terrible. We only got 22 points, got outscored by 11 points, but our defense in the fourth is what produces our offense. And I absolutely love exploiting transition defenses because they can't switch because you can't. It's either going to give Kevin Durant an easy layup or you're going to have to give up a three to Curry or Klay, and you have to pick your best shot. At the end of the day, when we're running at our pace, we cannot be stopped once our defense translates into our offense.
Yeah, when your defense is on like that, when it goes yin-yang like that, when you have the perfect off-balance, the Warriors truly are unstoppable. But I want to go back to that third quarter you talked about. Usually the Warriors are known for coming out and blowing teams out in the third quarter. We saw Kyrie Irving had 16 points alone in the third quarter. He came out cooking. He had a 1-on-4 fast break where he couldn't be stopped. This man was playing like he was playing on a flat earth with no gravity. I mean, this kid, he couldn't be stopped. Uncle Drew, say what you want.
This game has always been about buckets.
Until the last fourth quarter where I mentioned LeBron kind of disappeared, there was also a big possession where Kyrie dribbles down the court, waves off the screen, goes isolation, one-on-one versus Klay. Knowing the great defense that Klay has played in the first two games of the series.
The great Corey Matthews.
Like I mentioned, through three games, the Cavaliers' big three were shooting 11 for 36 versus Klay. So Kyrie tries to go isolation, play a little bit of hero ball. I know he's feeling himself after the Game 7 dagger over Curry. Nope, they didn't get the mismatch on Curry this time. It was against Klay, and he tries to hit a fadeaway three. He misses. I thought it was a little bit of poor management of the ball late by the Cavaliers.
No, definitely. I thought LeBron James should have had the ball in his hands. I know, Kyrie, you're hot, but LeBron is LeBron. He can get to the bucket no matter what. The easiest anybody can do it, and he can finish very well. But that was more, I think, his little cocky. I think he had that little flow going in him, and he messed up. That was not a good play to take. You take up a lot of time, too, to call on that ISO and just getting all that dribbling that he does. And Klay stepped up to the task, and he knew what he had to do. Make sure he just doesn't make shots. It's okay. You gave up all these other shots. You're still playing great defense. That's just a man that you got to give him respect. He hit those shots. But at the end of the day, that ball should have been in LeBron's hand.
Yeah, it's got to be in LeBron's hands, but like I mentioned, he was disappearing in the fourth. It's not the first time we've seen it before, passing off shots to Ray Allen. We got Kyrie saving him. I mean, we've got the argument where LeBron's real close to being 1-7 for finals if it wasn't for guys hitting big shots. Well, it wasn't LeBron hitting the big shot. That's one of the biggest arguments for me versus him versus Michael Jordan being the GOATs of all time. But like I said, we'll get into LeBron's legacy a little bit later. After three games, the Warriors were up 3-0. It could have easily been 2-1, but a lot of people were breaking out the brooms, calling for a sweep. What was your feeling after three games with the Warriors up 3-0, was it closing time in your opinion?
Una mas. I just kept thinking that. One possession at a time, one game at a time. You just have to make sure that we don't even think about the streak 16-0, like what we have right now, 3-0. We got to play, as Draymond said in that quote earlier, play like we're down because we know what happened last year. We know anything can change just like that, and look what happened.
Yeah, exactly. No team has ever came back from a 3-1 lead. Well, The Cleveland Cavaliers got their chance to do it twice as they came back in Game 4 to keep the series alive, pulled off a huge victory at home in Quicken Loans Arena, 137-116. Yes, you heard me correctly. The Warriors let up 137 points, the most points the Warriors let up the whole entire season, and the Cleveland Cavaliers came out on fire from the get-go, set an NBA record 49 points in the first quarter. Might have had a little bit of help. The ref called 12 fouls on the Warriors in that first quarter alone and let them shoot 22 free throws. But hey, the Cavs did set an NBA record by the halftime, 86 points. The big three finally showed up to play all at once. We saw little highlights here and there, but they had 67 points combined at halftime alone, and they finished the game with 94 points total. The big three from Cleveland had 94 points of their 137, and that's how they got the win, with Kyrie Irving putting up another flat earth 40, LeBron James 31, and Kevin Love 23 points off a 6 of 8 shooting from the 3-point line. Man, you want to talk about Cleveland shooting left and right? That's one thing that the refs can't rig. That's been a big controversy. The refs calling a technical on Draymond, calling another tech on Draymond. You're out of here. Oh, wait, no, we fucked up. The first technical was on Steve Kerr. Who knows what the hell is going on? But the refs did not rig 24 three-pointers from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they didn't rig LeBron James throwing alley-oops off the backboard to himself left and right.
LeBron James!
It's really ridiculous, the storylines that come up, but what was your overall takeaway from Game 4, the Cleveland Cavaliers staying alive?
The pace. The fouling at the beginning of the game just ruined our pace. It didn't allow us to get on the fast break and where we just open up and we can flourish, because with all those fouls, we actually ended up playing too much ISO ball, because we're not a team that usually sets up our offense every time we go down the floor. We're usually free balling it because we're good at that and we have the people to do it and great shooters. But at this point, the game just became ISO ball, and Kevin Durant wasn't getting the good looks that he was able to get before. And we weren't even really going to him at the beginning of the game, which was making me very frustrated. And Kevin Love, I'm pretty sure, had all three of his steals in the first quarter. Did not like that. And when they're all three on, and J.R. Smith hitting threes, he had 15 points, he had 5 threes. So when their starters are putting up almost 80% of their points, that's going to be hard to beat, especially when all of them, when they put up 94 together, them three, and Curry and Klay only have 14 and 13 apiece, it's not going to get it done.
Yeah, this was definitely a game where the Warriors struggled offensively, and you say that when they put up 68 points at the halftime, they're right there with the Cavaliers. But I'm telling you, Kyrie in Cleveland might just be not part of Earth. It might be it's flat Earth itself. This guy's putting up 40 points in Cleveland like it's nothing. That kid loves playing there. 40 points on 56% shooting. I don't care what you say. When the Cavaliers hit 24 three-pointers, the Cavaliers were truly unstoppable. And you got to give their hats off to them. They outshot the Warriors in Game 4.
No, definitely. Kyrie Irving and J.R. Smith had more three-pointers than the Warriors did. The Warriors only had 11. 11 for 39. That's terrible. That's never going to get it done when this team is shooting this hot.
It's never going to get it done. And then, hey, the 3-1 memes started to come out. People started saying, hey, Cavs in 7. J.R. Smith was feeling pretty confident, putting out some tweets. Cavs in 7. And man, oh man, as a Warriors fan, were you getting nervous at all?
Thank you for that. Thank you for the motivation.
I think it made it sweeter because it brang up the old revenge. Everybody, hey, here's the 3-1 memes. Well, then let's go ahead and put a dagger in them at 3-1. Let's go ahead and jump into the dagger game, Game 5.
Game 4 of the 2017 NBA Finals did not go as planned.
Klay waits, cross-court step to Durant. Durant's open, he'll fire. It's up and no good. Love as down goes Zaza. Knocked the floor, rebound to James. 5-on-4, James all the way. Scooped it up off the glass, caught it, and dunked it.
That is incredible improvisation.
For a team as talented and as proud as the Golden State Warriors, that's not the way they want to be remembered.
But ultimately, it's about competing and letting the talent take over.
Tonight, the Warriors have a chance to do something they've never done on the West Coast, and that's win the NBA title on their home floor. It's Game 5.
No, they were not. The Golden State Warriors were not going to go out blowing another 3-1 lead. They take Game 5, 129-120 in Oakland, getting a championship on the home turf, town business in the motherfucking building.
Town business gonna be in the building.
The Golden State Warriors, the 2017 NBA champions. But hey, man, it was a pretty intriguing game. LeBron James and the Cavs came out hot. 41 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Kyrie Irving, 26 points, 6 assists. J.R. Swish was showing up, 25 points on 7 for 8 from 3-point shooting. Man, where did J.R. Smith come from? Someone hit the light switch and J.R. took off his shirt, 2 kisses on the wrist, swish. But hey, you couldn't stop the Warriors and the offense coming back because they went on a huge second quarter run. And KD MVP, 39 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And then we saw him just take over the whole entire second half. And the Warriors bench, strength in numbers. We talked about it before. Some of the pieces from last year, we saw Sean Livingston show up. We saw Andre Iguodala show up. Iggy puts up 20 points in return of the death lineup 2.0. The Hampton 5 came out, and to me, that was the biggest factor in this game. We didn't see that lineup too much, but the Hampton 5, the big recruiting partner that brought KD to the Warriors, they went out there and just tore it up. When you got Andre Iguodala playing the point, and you got KD and Steph going setting screens for each other, Dre and Clay setting a pick and roll for each other, who do you guard? It's unstoppable, and they took over in the fourth quarter, and then it was sweet to see Steph Curry getting his revenge, hit that final dagger over Kyrie, finished with 34 points and 10 assists, another double-double, really did end with a great series. But the MVP to me, Game 5, got to be that Warriors bench, outscoring Cleveland 35-7. I thought that was a huge factor. The Hampton 5, Andre Iguodala, the 2015 NBA Finals MVP showing up to play.
And that's why I said thank you for the motivation you gave us. Keep reminding us that when after the game 3, when all they were talking smack, I remember Richard Jefferson coming out. I was like, this, he makes me the most mad when he comes out and he's like, oh, the Warriors don't want to take a flight to Cleveland. Well, guess what? You took a flight to Cleveland by yourself, and no, you're not going to play another game for a while. And I doubt LeBron's going to want you back next year. But honestly, I loved it because once we took that run, we never gave up. We put our foot down on the throat, and Kevin Durant shot 70% from the field. And the big three for us, Steph, Dre, and Kevin Durant, all played over 40 minutes. That is how important it was. And we were so efficient in our defense. We still gave up 120 points. That's a lot. But they played phenomenal. But the only thing, honestly, I actually believed at one point that we might be able to lose this game if Kevin Love got hot. The inconsistency with him is ridiculous. One game he's going to give you 25, and then 3 games he's going to give you 6, 9, 8. But then he'll get like 15 rebounds with those 8 points. But when he gets 23 points, he has 5 rebounds. I just don't understand it. And I think he was a big letdown for them because he was getting some open jumpers. On some of them, I'm like, you're 7 feet shooting a 3. There's not many people that can get a hand in your face.
Yeah, you saw the one game that they did have success, obviously Game 4. He went 6 for 8 from the 3-point line and had a huge game. You got to have the Cavs' big three all showing up. It can't just be Kyrie. It can't just be LBJ. That's where we talk about now, LeBron James. I need more help. I need more playmakers. And hey, I guess so, to keep up with this Warriors quote-unquote super teams. In my opinion, we had 2 super teams going at each other. But man, oh man, what a matchup at the end of the day. And the Warriors pulled off a big one and said, hey, we're not going down 3-1 again, putting a dagger in them at home on home turf in Oakland.
And that's the way it should be done. As much as I wanted to sweep and make their locker room smell like champagne so the next year like they did to us last year, it felt good to watch how happy everybody was, especially with all the fans being able to just join with them. And it was amazing just because we never got to do it on the home court. We did it over there in 2015. So it was like, and everybody was still booing. So it was nice to see what a true ovation would actually be like. Even though the fans, I'm not a huge fan, lower level, not even chanting. You only hear the chants maybe once every quarter, and they're all coming from upper level. It absolutely makes me mad. I wouldn't even want to go to the playoff game. But at the end of the day, you remember who wins and loses, and we end up getting the job done. And honestly, the foundation is set for the future.
Oh, the foundation is set. Kevin Durant is set with the Warriors. Man, oh man, let's talk about all the ramifications, because Kevin Durant is now your finals MVP. He's an NBA champion. Call him a cupcake, call him soft if you want. Hey, there's a bunch of haters. There's only one thing you can debate now, and that he's an NBA champion and NBA finals MVP. Debate this.
Kevin Durant's too weak to be first pick. He's a skinny teenager who'll never make it in a man's league.
He's soft. S-O-F-T.
He has got some offensive skills, but you have to play defense.
How can he just just all right.
He might drop 40, but he's not a real leader.
He don't have that tenacity. He don't got that danger.
Scoring titles, great. MVP, big deal.
Kevin Durant will sign with the Warriors.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Traitor.
We
gravy train.
That was the weakest move ever.
That's what you call loyalty?
Durant out for 6 weeks.
Cry, baby.
The finals begin tonight.
Durant's playing at a whole other level.
And it's over. KD has his first NBA championship. It's in the...
KD MVP. Kevin Durant finished the NBA Finals with a per-game average of 35.2 points, 8.4 rebounds, 5.4 assists, a steal, and a block per game, shooting 50, 40, 90. Once again, the MVP can shoot out the lights, and he became the first player to put up 30-plus points in five straight final games since Shaquille O'Neal in the 2000 NBA Finals. Kevin Durant was an offensive force like no one could imagine, and we talked about the ways that he stepped it up defensively as well. You want to talk about being called a ring chaser? I don't get how anybody could call Kevin Durant a ring chaser when he was the ring leader. You go out there and become the NBA Finals MVP and put up more than 35 points a game. You are leading the ship. You're not hopping on this ship. In my opinion, Kevin Durant has done everything to validate the move. Whatever he says, he's an NBA champion now.
At the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. All the haters can shut up. So I ask anybody this. If you had the second best player in the world trying to join your team, wouldn't you do anything to get him on there? And at the end of the day, this is a goddamn business. Yep. So remember that. Joe Lacob and Peter Gruber made the best business move, which is amazing when you have owners like that that are so open with their communication with their front staff, and they trust them, and they allow them to do the basketball part, but they are willing to go the extra mile and pay that extra salary cap money that they have to go for getting into penalty to make sure that this team is the best. Because at the end of the day, there's only one thing that matters, winning. That's the only thing that matters. And shout out to Dominic Toretto. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is goddamn winning.
Hey, all you got to do is win. You know the saying.
And you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. Got to hold it down for Oakland. The Warriors getting a win in Oakland. And you said it perfectly. The front office getting Kevin Durant. People said, oh, it's unfair that the Warriors got Kevin Durant. Well, what'd you want the front office to do? Pay the same money and keep Harrison Barnes? Well, why would you do that when you can obviously instantly upgrade? And you want to talk about how is it unfair? The Warriors are the 14th highest paid team in the salary cap. The Cleveland Cavaliers are number one. Okay, you want to talk about being unfair? The Warriors draft picks. Steph Curry, not number one pick. Klay Thompson, not a number one pick. Draymond Green, second round pick. KD was not even number one pick. He was number two. LeBron James, number one. Kyrie, number one. You want to talk about back-to-back number one picks that got in the lottery to get Andrew Wiggins, to get the Canadian guy that didn't even turn out, just playing D-League right now, Anthony Bennett. You want to talk about all the draft picks they got? Every single member of the starting five for the Cleveland Cavaliers was drafted in the top 10. So this isn't a super team versus nobody's. This isn't Allen Iverson going to get into the Lakers where he has to drop 50 points a night just to get a win. This is LeBron James, greatest player in the world. GOAT, arguably to some people. Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew, Rookie of the Year. Probably going to be an MVP sometime in his career. Kevin Love, an all-star. Triple doubles. J.R. Smith, Sixth Man of the Year. He's got weapons. He's got talents. You want to say it's unfair? I don't think so at all when LeBron James really did lay down the foundation in the modern era of basketball of free agents leaving teams and creating their own super teams.
And another factor that honestly we never even really touched, and it hasn't really been touched at all, I honestly thought when they got Kyle Korver that was going to be a huge move for them.
Another piece.
Absent the entire time, and he was a defensive liability. That's why he barely played a goddamn minute. And he barely even played. I thought they were going to use him so much more because he's a dead-eye shooter. He's just as good as Steph and Clay. I say that because that man can drill, and he's on fire. You keep giving it to him, he could be just get as hot as a toaster. And I'm talking about Clay Thompson because that's his new nickname, Toaster.
The Toaster.
I absolutely love that because, what was it, 33-2 with that record, and one of them we did that he didn't even start?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you mentioned it. Kyle Korver, a great shooter, one of the top three-point shooters in the league. That's GM LeBron. You want to blame everybody? Blame LeBron James. He's the general manager that brought in Korver. He's the general manager who paid all that money for Tristan Thompson to bring the Kardashian clan along to games. He's the one who paid all that money for J.R. Smith to only show up for one game of the NBA Finals. This is on LeBron James. This isn't compared to the Warriors, where they're all got no egos, taking pay cuts, and playing together in perfect harmony. You want to talk about unfair? LeBron James laid this foundation, and now he's dealing with the consequences.
Yeah, and he's just outmatched at this point because of our unselfishness. Like, that's the one thing I love about this group, is because they have fun. At the end of the day, you play sports to have fun, and they look like they are having fun whenever they're on the court. And the chemistry, the camaraderie between all of them, you could see the difference between other teams. Other teams are frustrated. Everybody's always looking for their own shot. When you watch the Warriors, whenever somebody gets the ball, they're not even looking to score. They are looking to make a play for somebody else, because always pass up a good shot for the best shot. And that's what we did the entire playoffs. And our chemistry is so good right now. I'm waiting for the over-under lines on how many wins the Warriors are going to have next season, because I'm putting over 70. I think they might be able to break. I didn't say that this year because I was like, the chemistry is going to be off. You know, we lost game one. You know, it was never going to be a possibility. But next year, the way we're looking, if we can keep the majority of our bench, I don't see how anything can change from this happening again, unless the Cavs actually get Paul George.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to need something huge to change to try to knock off this Warriors team. You talk about great team chemistry. They had 50-30 assist games. 50-30 assist game. They led the NBA in assists and total team assists. Once again, that ball movement is just really, you can't replicate it. They're like a team like no other. Someone's going to have to try to make a huge move to match up to this Warriors team, which brings up the conversation. Is this Warriors team up there with the greats now? Everybody, when they're sweeping everybody, going 16-0, a lot of people is calling out the foe, already calling them the greatest team of all time. They lose one close game to LeBron James, and all of a sudden they're out of the conversation. Harneet, where do you look at teams like the Showtime Lakers? Do the Golden State Warriors rank up in that upper echelon? Going 16-1 is quite an impressive feat.
I think they have to. It's a no-brainer. They definitely rank up there among them, but it's so hard to judge different eras, different style exactly. of play, where the three-point shot wasn't even prevalent before. So it would just be a matchup you can't even play out unless you're on NBA 2K at the end of the day. But I think our unselfishness is what makes us. And I think that no other team has ever had that. They've always looked at somebody to lead. When our heartbeat of our team, I would say, is our fourth scoring option. And he's not even a real scoring option. That's Draymond Green. So when you look at it like that, no other team's ever done that. Michael was the focal point for them. Magic and Kareem were their focal points. James Worthy wasn't that main guy for them. That would be different. But there, it wasn't like that. Obviously, they had to fight the Celtics back in the day. It's all different. It's hard to compare, but at the end of the day, they definitely, there's no brainer, they at least rank up with the best.
Yeah, I definitely have them up there myself. Some people are saying they're going to discredit them and not show them respect because KD ran to the Warriors. Well, let me just explain something to you. If you really think it's unfair, you just don't understand the modern landscape of the NBA. This has been going on for years and years and years. It started back, I remember when I was younger and said, oh, Kobe ain't shit because he needs Shaq to win a championship. MJ did it by himself. And then Kobe started winning and said, oh, well, Michael Jordan had Pippen. You need two guys. It makes sense. And then all of a sudden, big three started coming along. The Celtics did. They had their big three. And everybody's like, oh, Kobe did it with just two guys. And look at them. They got a big three. And then Kobe started bringing in more guys. He tried to bring in Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, a bunch of guys. And then we saw LeBron leave and go to the Heat, bring in three All-Stars. We got Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen. I don't care how old he was. He's hitting game-winning shots. He's an All-Star. He's an 11-time All-Star.
He won a championship.
Yeah, we talk about big players. So this is just the landscape. So now everybody knows you need at least three All-Stars to win. The Golden State Warriors lost last year, so hey, they went and added a fourth All-Star. Surprise, surprise. You're going to see the Cleveland Cavaliers do the same thing next year when they try to go after Paul George, like a lot of people are saying, or they go after Chris Paul. And you know what it's going to take to beat the Warriors? It might take five All-Stars, because that's just the landscape of today's NBA, and it's building more super teams left and right. And LeBron James has the audacity to say he never played for a super team? Man, here's Draymond Green's response to not playing for a super team.
They want to talk about super teams this, super team that. I never played on a super team. You started the super team, bro. I ain't joined the super team. Hey, Slim. I don't know what you just did, Slim, but you did something to them boys. We appreciate you joining the super team. I never played on a super team. That's crazy.
Never played on a super team. Man, that's crazy. I'm right there with you, Draymond. Harneet, what is your response to LeBron James saying he never played for an NBA super team?
I'm just speechless at that point. That's why I made that pause happen, because how are you going to say that? You went out, got two guys that are in their prime. You, and Chris Bosh in their prime end up going playing with D Wade, who's already won a ring by himself with old Shaq. And you're going to tell me that's not a super team? You guys are in your prime. When Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett went, one, they had to make some trades to get that done, not just sign willingly. You know, they had to, but the organization had to get it done. I don't think we're a super team. I think we are a super organization because it starts off from the top all the way to the bottom and it translates the entire way. Without our ownership and our front office, I can't reiterate it enough. They are so much to thank. Bob Myers and the best GM in the league. One thing I'm going to be sad about, Jerry West leaving, because you want to know why we're such a super team? It's because we drafted great talent, and Jerry West was a key part of that. So watch the Clippers. They're going to start rising with their draft picks because that man is smart. And he's the one that got that trade on draft day to get Kobe Bryant because he's like, no, this kid is going to be a star. And that's what he saw with Steph. That's what he saw with Draymond, Clay, and look where they are right now. All-stars. And now what? That super team, one man came to our team. We didn't go out and join another team. We drafted our picks.
Yeah, exactly. Laid the foundation from the bottom and built up and then just, hey, put the cherry on top. And so LeBron James, those 3-1 jokes, the cupcakes, the Halloween parties, to all those fans who made it, those 3-1 memes, I'd say it's just a nice, humble slice of karma getting served straight back to you. At the end of the day, the Warriors are 2017 NBA champions. A lot of people will say, to counter our argument, saying, oh, Garnett and Ray Allen were old when they went to the Celtics. Ray Allen was old, blah, blah, blah. They'll bring up age as a factor. They'll bring up age when Charles Barkley went to go join Hakeem Olajuwon with the Rockets. They'll bring up age with Steve Nash and Dwight Howard going to the Lakers. They'll bring up all these names of failures of being old. So you're telling me it's fine to go chase rings when you're old and can't really contribute much to the team and just be a bench warmer like Deron Williams, or you end up like CP3 or Melo? But it's not all right when you're in your prime, 29 years old, getting to that age, to go be a leader and go be the driving force to go win that championship, be a ring leader. I just don't understand that sociological
And then
connection.
If you don't make that choice to go be a ring leader or a ring chaser, they're going to always be like, well, he never won a championship.
Exactly. And now people say, well, Melo should have gone to the Bulls with Derrick Rose, or CPC should leave. Those same exact people are now excited for Chris Paul to go to the Spurs, or Chris Paul to go to the Cavs, or Paul George to go to the Cavs. All these people who are giving KD shit for not having a ring were the same people who gave him shit for not having a ring the last 9 years in Oklahoma City. And to me, we talked about this multiple times on past podcasts. I think it was truly the relationship between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant that was the driving force that left him. Why would he want to stay with a team that he's already lost? Everybody says, oh, he ran to a team that just beat him. You had the lead. You could have beat him. He ran to the team that beat him. Well, he really ran to a team so that he could beat the guy who beat him in his first ever finals, LeBron James. LeBron James has been the kingpin of the NBA for the past 10 years, past decade, for however long you want to say. Kevin Durant's coming after LeBron James. He doesn't guard Steph Curry. He's coming for LeBron. He went to go take out LeBron, and he got the job done.
Yeah, I absolutely hate the talk, but for LeBron, the only three he's ever going to hear is 3-5, and that's his finals record. Absolutely terrible. And at the end of the day, it's more than just having superstars on your team. Because well, the first year they went, they lost to the Mavericks when he joined the Heat. The chemistry wasn't there. That's what we have, and that's what it takes to win when you play as a unit and everybody fights for everybody. Strength in numbers. Next man up. Everybody was ready to play. Look at Patrick McCaw stepping up. Like that's what it takes. It's not just all about your superstars. It's about your superstars and how they lead your team, not on and off the court. You know what I mean? Like show them like this is what we do. And I feel bad for players like Patrick McCaw. He shot 2 air balls on that threes. I'm like, that's what happens when you play with Steph Curry. And you're like, that's a great shot. But he still fought and hustled. And that's what I love. And that's what our team had. We have grit. That's what we had this year that we didn't have last year. Last year we were too cocky, coming off a championship, thinking we're the shit up 3-1. You know what I mean? And that's what got to our head, and I love the entire motive the entire way. It was like, not done yet, not done yet. We got to get it done, and look what happened. Now we won. Keep this mindset going to next season, and nothing can stop us.
Yeah, I like the way that Steve Kerr came back, dealt with adversity through the season with his own injuries, coming back game 2 in the NBA Finals, and Steve Kerr has become the all-time leader among coaches in both playoff winning percentage and regular season winning percentage, and he now has more rings than Michael Jordan. Yes, you heard that right. Steve Kerr, with his playing and coaching, has more total rings than Michael Jordan. Steve Kerr, the GOAT? The GOAT, Steve Kerr. Man, oh man, I guess the GOAT conversation is safe now for Michael Jordan because you mentioned it. 3-5 in the finals, and there's an argument that he could be 1-7 if it wasn't for a couple big shots. Of course, those shots went in, so that's kind of a dumb argument, but still, 3-5, LeBron James, disappearing act in the fourth quarter. Yeah, his numbers are great. First player ever to average a triple-double in the finals, 33 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists per game, but man, where was he in the fourth quarter? He's the only former MVP to ever lose 5 NBA finals. I think it does tarnish his legacy just a little bit, and it does knock him out of the equation of being GOAT compared to Michael Jordan.
I always hated that comparison just because they're so different. I've always thought he's more of a Magic or an Oscar Robertson type of guy, the guy that can, like, an all-around player. He can do everything he wants. He can play any position that he needs to. Or at the end of the day, he's still the best player on the planet, but I would not call him the GOAT because at the end of the day, finals matter. Winning championships matters in a sense. What do you do in the biggest moments? And in the biggest moments in this series, he did not play good defense. Kevin Durant ate him up when he needed to. Was absent besides the last game where he was just taking Iguodala down real quick and just scoring easy buckets right underneath the paint, which I don't understand. Like, you can do this every goddamn time. I almost wanted him to be more selfish and hold the ball, not try to get that open three and, like, just take it to the lane, because when you're missing threes, that's 2 points that you could have easily gotten or at least got to the foul line or had a good, at least a 70% chance of hitting that shot. So to me, I never understood that when he just needs to take over. That mindset was with Dwayne Wade. When Dwayne Wade needed to take over, he was there to do that. LeBron doesn't have that in him right now, and because he has too much trust in his other teammates. But that's going to be scary about next year, because now, like, I think K Love might be out.
Yeah, we got to see with Kevin Love, the rumors of trading him for Paul George, who they might bring in. We're going to get into all the NBA free agency stuff on the offseason. But it truly is interesting. We see now there might be a passing of the guard people are bringing up. Kevin Durant versus LeBron. Kevin Durant finally got his ring. He's now 1-1 all time versus LeBron James in the finals. Some people are already going ahead and crowning him the best player in the NBA. I still do like what LeBron does all around the game with his able to pass the ball. But as a team player, it doesn't matter about stats because Kevin Durant's got the ring. And like you said, the foundation's set. It's lined up to maybe run off 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. Should we get the LeBron James clip?
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
The Warriors got 2 in 3 years, but this is a whole different team now. I got to give a shout out to David West, OG, getting his first ring.
And being the tough OG. Besides him kissing Tristan Thompson, that was dope.
Yeah, right. JaVale McGee getting his first ring. Some of these OGs that come along, and I think we're going to see a lot more of these type of players come to the Warriors on these veteran contracts, just like the Heat did back when LeBron was recruiting everybody. But I really do think the foundation's set. And what do you say is going to go forward now next year? What's the goal? To get 74 wins and then go 16-0? How do they top this season and just keep on continuing to become one of the greatest teams of all time?
The expectations are only one thing, NBA championship. Anything else is a fail. I don't care if we win 48 games and come in the A spot. As long as we win that damn championship, that's the only thing anybody will ever remember. And that's why for LeBron, in his legacy sense, it will hurt him in the long run when the stats are going to show like that, because at the end of the day, everybody's always just going to look at stats. But as of right now, I don't think. As of right now, because people saw, like, he just didn't have it. He was outmatched.
Yep.
There's a difference if you're outmatched or outplayed. They got outplayed because they were outmatched. They didn't get outplayed because they were at the same level of competition. We just had it. We were better. I just don't think this championship does, but in the long run, the stat is going to show 3-5, and that's the number that he's going to be living upon. And he's probably going to make it next year too. He's probably going to get back again. So I think that number is just going to keep going up.
Yeah, we're going to see the East continue to be LeBron James' conference. He's going to continue to show up, and in my opinion, we're going to keep on seeing the Warriors, so we could see a couple right off in a row. Before this ends, we talked about Jerry West going down to the Clippers. There's some rumors LeBron James could end up in L.A. somehow. Lakers, Clippers, if they keep CP3, bring in Melo. We got the Banana Boat crew wants to play together. Do you see any possibility of that coming to me? It'd be dumb just to come lose in the Western Conference Finals instead of going all the way to the Finals.
I think LeBron would be ridiculous to even do that, because I think that would tarnish his legacy. I think that itself, you left once, you leave again just because you don't win, you little crybaby. Like, that's even worse than, like, Kevin Durant coming out. Like, honestly, like, you're just going to leave after 3 years just because, oh, you won one, lost two. All right, I'm going to go try something new. If you end up playing in the Western Conference, you ain't even going to make the Finals. That's the thing that he also has to think about. The road is going to be a lot tougher. Ain't no goddamn Eastern Conference. We have a lot better small forwards in the Western Conference to match you up. You play in the East, dog. The only person you ever got to worry about is facing Paul George. That's literally, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, just because he's blowing up and that fool's raw. But at the end of the day, you switch conferences, your whole game changes. And I honestly just don't see it happening, because I think the burden that would be on his mind. Everybody's always known he's had a weak psyche. It's grown. He's matured. But I cannot see it happening unless Dwayne Wade leaves Chicago.
Maybe if D-Wade teams up with him, like I said, the Banana Boat crew, D-Wade, CP3, Melo.
I think D-Wade is like literally the glue. If D-Wade, if Chris Paul and Carmelo were down, I guarantee LeBron would like buy 70% in. But if Dwayne Wade said, fuck it, I'm down to come for a year or two. Hey, will they pay me at least $10 million a year? LeBron would go in a heartbeat, and I promise you they probably would go to the Lakers.
Yeah, hey, if my opinion, they shouldn't try to go back to the Heat, stay in the Eastern Conference. That'd probably be a little bit of a better route if they want to get back to the NBA Finals. But hey, you never know. Anything could happen. I've heard Max Kellerman say LeBron should go to Spurs.
Yeah, no, because even if, like, if you're in the Western Conference, just think about it. Like, the Warriors, honestly, I don't see anybody taking out our – we're going to get the number one seed. We're going to win the most games because I honestly believe that we might even break our old record. For him – even if you end up in the 2 or 3 seed, that means even if you went to the Lakers, say that happened, he'd have to face the Spurs before even meeting us. He's already tired and only going through the East. You know how tired he's going to be after he goes through the Spurs? He ain't going to sweep nothing else.
Yeah, it's a no-go. LeBron, he enjoyed the 12-1 pathway that he had to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. That was easy enough for him. People were complaining about the unfairness. Well, hey, they swept through the Eastern Conference just as the Warriors went through the Western Conference. And the people say it's unfair they don't get matched up against Thunder or we didn't get to see him against the Rockets or the full Spurs or whatever. Hey, that's why they play the regular season. That's why they got the number one seed. So they play the lesser seeds, and the other guys have to knock each other out.
I hate that because what happened last year, we lost championship because of suspensions, injuries. So, like, then you talk about that for anything. Sports, injuries happen, and that's the worst part about the game, 100%. But at the end of the day, it's life. You have to play with and without it. And at the end of the day, you have to. If you don't have it, I'm sorry. That happened to us. Steph got injured, too. His knee wasn't feeling good. He bucked up, and he played. We had multiple injuries. So, like, I hate it when people say that just because – shit happens. That's like literally the only way I can say like shit happens, dog. This is fucking sports.
Hey, shit happens. That's life. And at the end of the day, the Warriors are your 2017 NBA champions. Yee! So, my man Harnie, let me say any last parting shots. I know Draymond Green come out with the quickie shirt. He had to say, hey, I'm feeling petty. Yes, I remember the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. Yes, I remember the 3-1 Tombstone cookies. I remember the 3-1 band. The jerseys on the floor is doormats. Harnie, I know that you weren't a fan of this Halloween party at all, and you lost a little bit of respect for LeBron James.
All respect.
But hey, tell me, your final party shots as an NBA champion fan, what's it feel like living in the Bay's golden days?
It truly is the Bay's golden days. It's amazing. I absolutely love it knowing after last year, just living in like sadness for a whole year and just waiting for this moment because we know we were going to end up here. And we just had to get it done, and we did it with conviction. Besides one game, little let up, it's okay. We went 16-1. We got the goal, and we got it done in great fashion. As much as I would have loved the sweep, I can't reiterate enough. Just the win means the most. And I love seeing everybody going out to parade, showing a lot of love, what they project, like 1.5, 2 million people there.
Town business going to be in the building.
But at the end of the day, we are champions. And now, this is what one thing I actually love about Bill Belichick, random shout out. When he won the championship, when he won the Super Bowl, you know what he said? He's like, yeah, well, we're already 3 weeks behind on offseason. That's the mindset that I want the Warriors to have. No, we got to lock up our players and get these deals done quick so we can just focus on basketball. Start putting the pieces and let the new guys come in because we're going to lose people. It's a business. And at the end of the day, Matt Barnes, he's not going to be there next year. David West, I don't know. Zaza, we have 10 free agents. Our team is going to look different, but our core is going to stay the same, and our young guns are going to be there. So we just have to re-sign our players, and honestly, the sky is the limit. For this team and this organization, this is crazy because I also think about the future 10 years down from now when we're not going to have this same core anymore, but we have become a big market team where free agents are now going to be like, oh, they're moving to San Francisco? Hey, that's a pretty dope place to live. Yep. So, and that's one thing that I love for the future because before, nobody wanted to play for the Warriors. Nobody wanted to play for the Warriors. Our best players for years were Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy. That's when you know we're goddamn bad. So this is just amazing feeling because 2 and 3 years, I would have loved the real dynasty of a three, but now we can do it with Kevin Durant and make it real and now, make it legit.
Now you got KD for the foreseeable future, and we've already heard the rumors if he's willing to take less money. Curry's never really got paid. He could take less money. Yet. I hate the rumors about people say, oh, Klay Thompson's going to want to leave and become a superstar somewhere and get paid. Hey, have you seen the shoes he's wearing? He's got some knockoff Chinese brand. Klay Thompson's not going anywhere. He loves it. Klay, Steph, they grew up with their dads in the NBA. They've got money. They don't need money. I think this foundation is set, like you said. But, hey, if you're looking ahead 10 years in the future, how many rings are we looking at for the Golden State Warriors?
I honestly just think that there's no set of 4 All-Stars that I can think about teaming up with LeBron where they're going to be able to outrun in our game. The way the whole type of NBA play has shifted is because of us. So we're the front runners already in adapting to the game that we pretty much created, the fast pace, running gun, having shooters. How many times on fast break do people just shoot the three, not even go down to the fucking rim and get two easy points? That's one thing that's changing, and I don't think that there's enough superstars who are down to take the lesser role and be like pretty much LeBron's sidekick. Because you know at the end of the day, LeBron coaches that team. Tyronn Lue just coaches the supporting cast. So to me, I just don't see four All-Stars that could beat what we have because our core three are not even our best. Kevin Durant comes in and the chemistry between the other three are so good that Kevin Durant just fit in seamlessly. And I just don't see LeBron being able to have that unless it's Carmelo, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade, and I think they only have 1 year to do it.
Yeah, right? Because I talk about throwing out 10-year predictions. Hey, 10 years, LeBron's out of the league. Steph and KD are going to be 39.
I think we could win five in a row.
But looking at the next 5 years, I'm looking at four out of the next five. Maybe there's one team that forms together. You get a lot of young superstars. The Timberwolves get a few pieces or something. But no, I don't think there's anybody really coming into the Warriors team. Like I said, the game's evolving. The Warriors stepped it up to four All-Stars. Look for LeBron to add two more All-Stars to his roster and get five to try to knock off the Warriors.
I think if the Warriors are going to get knocked off, it's not going to be by LeBron. I think there's going to have to be a random super team that forms. Like, imagine just a random thought I just thought about. What if, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo went to, like, the Pelicans? That set of three would be dangerous because Giannis can play the three, but he dribbles as a one. He could set them up. So, like, that's why I just don't think LeBron, I don't think he's going to be able to get done. If so, they're going to have to make moves, some other team's going to have to do it, and I don't think LeBron has it.
All them dubs made LeBron go bald.
Straight up.
Draymond said it himself. Draymond putting in the dagger in LeBron, the back and forth trash talk. It will continue because we got the trilogy this year, but we might go four times. We might go five. We might go six. We might go seven. We don't know. LeBron James can count it off for us. But, hey, we're going to see this matchup at least one more time. I can guarantee you that the KD versus LeBron saga continues. Steph versus Kyrie. Klay in the toaster versus JR in the Henny bottle. The saga continues. Draymond the donkey versus Tristan Thompson in the Kardashian clan. Man, so many storylines. What an NBA season. The Warriors are your 2017 NBA champions. And this is the Bay's Golden Days covering the whole season, the whole postseason run. You know we had to be here for the whole entire thing because the Warriors got one for Oakland before they went off to SF. But I love the shirts they were wearing. It's the Bay's Days, and it's the Bay's Golden Days, baby. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. Check us out on SoundCloud. Also, you can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Bay's Golden Days. Check out our website at bgdsports.com. This is the Bay's Golden Days, baby. Five championships in the last 7 years. Let's get it.
Golden.
Golden. Golden. Golden. Golden.
Steady gold, pony boy.